Good morning. This morning we're reading from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 3. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God.
There is a contemporary Christian song, I use the word as broadly as I can, that has in it the lines where the Father says to the Son, Jesus, go and get your bride. Today is your wedding day. And of course, that's having reference to the end of time, the second coming of our Lord, which we've talked about the last couple of weeks. But it has definite reference to the coming of the Lord to take his people home, to take his church home. And the reference that we read this morning about new heavens and a new earth, so many unfortunately read something like this and they want to make it right here. They want to make it right here that this earth is going to be put back in shape, as it were. It's going to be reconditioned. It's going to be put back as it was pre-fall back in the Garden of Eden. And they want to try to make heaven here. Folks, it's not, this place isn't good enough. Okay? It's not good enough. It never has been good enough. It never will be good enough. Heaven, we talked about this last week. Heaven is beyond anything that's entered into the thoughts or imagination of man. No, new heavens and a new earth simply means a new place to dwell with God. And it's a place where righteousness dwells. And we can look around this world today and we can say righteousness does not dwell here. And I got news for you, even after God burns this place to ashes, righteousness still won't dwell here. We're going to have new heavens and new earth, a new place to live. That's all that's talking about. But I want you to notice that the kingdom of God, the church of God, the holy city, New Jerusalem is what it's called, is coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I still get emotional. Yesterday was kind of tough. Now, Mike made it through just fine. We thought he was going to be the waterworks. But he made it through just fine until Ashley started having some trouble. And y'all, I was not crying. I was sweating out of my eyes. That's all that was. Because it was hot in here. But when I think about a bride adorned for her husband, I turned around and I saw that wedding dress. Whoa, blew my mind. I cried, y'all, because I paid so much for that thing. Oh. You know, we pay so much to try to ensure that they only wear it one time. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Well, we need to understand what it is. We know all the trouble that brides go through to prepare for their husband. The unbelievable things they have to do. They get these artificial things on their eyelids and these artificial nails and you know, bubba teeth. And, no. But I mean, this incredible dress, and they have to get their hair done just right and their makeup done just right. And of course, you know, they are dressed in things that we guys can't even imagine that they put on to try to look just perfect for their groom. And the rituals and the ceremony, boy, it's a lot of pomp and circumstance. It is a lot of stuff to have to go through. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I was not a bride, never have been a bride, but I have never been so tired in my life as I was getting ready for this thing. to adorn. It means to make pleasing or attractive, to decorate, to beautify, to improve the appearance of. That's what it means to adorn. And the church of God is to adorn itself as a bride for her husband. And Jesus Christ is the husband that is waiting for us. And we are waiting for him. And so we are in the process of getting ready. That's why we're here. And it may take a long time. And it may not take all that long. We've been getting ready for a long time. And you, as individual Christians, have been getting ready for a long time. But you got to keep on. You're not through yet. We have growth to do. We have changes to make. We have more to do. And it's not the outward appearance of things. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. This passage has been often quoted and most of the time completely misunderstood. Completely misunderstood. This passage is talking about women adorning themselves, women decorating themselves. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 9 and 10, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. People read this and say, see, you shouldn't buy expensive clothes and fancy jewelry and do your hair all fancy and all that stuff. You completely missed it, if that's what you think he's saying. You completely missed it. Why would you think that? That is not the point of this at all. What he's saying is, this is not what God is looking for. This is not going to make you pleasing or appealing to God. It is that inward adorning of the heart that's going to make us pleasing to God. It's not in any way condemning the outward adorning or the outward decorating or beautifying of our bodies or our attire or our ornaments, jewelry, and all that fashion. It's not in any way condemning that. In the same exact way, Paul said godliness is profitable in all things, right? But he did say bodily exercise profits little. Is that in some way putting down bodily exercise? Now, who am I to talk about bodily exercise? Just don't judge me. Just listen to me. Is bodily exercise being condemned because he's comparing it to godliness? Huh? Is it? Okay, what about this love-hate relationship that we're supposed to have with parents and children and fathers, mothers, husbands, wives, and even your own life? Jesus said, any man that comes to me and does not hate father, mother, husband, wife, children, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus is saying, you've got to love me so much that you will not put anyone, any relationship, and not even your own safety or desires ahead of me. You've got to love me that much that it looks like hate for everyone else. But it's not in any way suggesting that we're supposed to hate each other. I hate you with the love of the Lord. It doesn't work. That's not it at all. It's we love each other, but our love for Jesus is to be so much more. Our commitment to him is to be so much more. And so in the same way that bodily exercise is not condemned by simply suggesting godliness is such a better thing, Paul is not condemning the miraculous gifts that they needed in the first century when he talks about a better way, which is love, in 1 Corinthians 13. He's not in any way suggesting that they're doing wrong by using these miraculous gifts that they've been given. But rather, this is a much better way. Love. This is good in all things. This will last forever. This other stuff's going to go away. But this is going to last forever. So it's not a condemnation of the former. And neither is Paul's admonition about the way you dress, the way you conduct yourself. It's, you know, you could be poor. You could be sick. You could be in such dire straits that you don't have good clothes. Does that mean you're not allowed to come to church? Does that mean you cannot approach God? If you don't maintain a certain level of wealth, that you can't approach God? Is that, how blasphemous is that? So to suggest that the outward appearance of man is in any way the thing that God looks at is blasphemy. God is concerned about what's on the inside. Now, this does not condemn decorating ourselves for weddings, or if you're going to dress up and you're going to go meet the governor of the state of Alabama, or if you're going to have dinner with a prospective employer, you want to impress your boss, you don't go in there in flip-flops, Bermuda shorts, and a Hawaiian flower t-shirt if you want to impress your potential boss. You have to dress appropriately, a certain way. Well, the same is true in any situation. You should dress appropriately to the situation. You will never see me fishing in a suit and tie. I'm not going to do that. Dress appropriate to the situation. And that's all this is talking about. So let's not get carried away thinking why, you know, it's wrong for us to put on makeup and fix our hair up nice and earrings and jewelry and all that. Don't think like that. It would be wrong for me to do my hair up nice and wear makeup and jewelry and all that. That would just be wrong. But appropriate, folks, appropriate. So what is it that we're to adorn? How are we to adorn ourselves? We adorn the soul. We adorn the soul. Isaiah 61 verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. God is blessing us with whatever wealth we ever have. God is blessing us with spiritual wealth as well. When we are Christians, when we are children of God, we are adorned before our God. We are to appear before God in righteousness, in holiness, a beauty that is beyond the appearance of the physical, but that transcends into the heart, that goes to the heart of your very being, who you are. So many people pretend to be something they're not. There's a lot of folks that do. You get these phone calls. It's the IRS. They're after you. No, they're not. Your Social Security card has been compromised. No, it hasn't. These are folks that are trying to lie to you, cheat you, steal from you. They're trying to trick you into every conceivable situation they can to take advantage of you, to get your personal information, and to take money out of your bank account. That's what their goal is, and they're good at it. And some of you know because you've fallen for it. Don't fall for it again. When you answer your phone, by the way, here's a tip from the preacher. When you answer your phone, some of you answer your phone, yes? Oh, you just messed up. You just gave them permission. You just gave them permission. They recorded your yes. And you just gave them permission for whatever they want to do if the question could be answered with a yes. Do not answer your phone with yes. Answer your phone with hello. That's how you do it. Alexander Graham Bell taught us that. We need to follow that. Hello, that's what you do. Don't answer it with yes. Don't answer it with your name. You think you're saving time, but you just gave them a name. And they can look up information based on that name. So don't answer your phone with a name. Well, okay, that's a public service announcement. That is for free. You do not have to pay the preacher for that. But the point I'm trying to get at, folks, is that there's a lot of evil people in this world that pretend to be something they're not. We must not be guilty of that. Let us be real. Be real with each other. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, a preacher telling folks to be real, Mike, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Danny, you've seen it too. preachers get together and are some of the most artificial people you've ever seen in your life when they get together, because they're scared to reveal anything, a weakness in themselves, for fear that the other guys are going to tell others about it, and it's going to show that we're not the epitome of perfect preachers. It is almost psychotic when preachers get together. It's just really sad. I don't know. Sometimes I don't blame folks for not liking preachers. I told them when I became an elder, I started having a distrust of preachers immediately. But the thing is, we got to be real. We have to be real. We have to be real people with each other. This is what God is looking for. Not looking for us to put on an act or put on a front. You know, you can put on a mask. You can hide yourself. You can decorate yourself up and try to hide yourself. Change your appearance. Change how you look. You heard about this. Now, this is a little sacrilegious, and I'm sorry for that. But you heard about this person that heard that they were really, really sick. And it didn't look like they were going to have a long life at all. And so the person asked the doctor, "What should I do?" They said, "Well, go and do whatever you want to do for yourself. Enjoy your life. You know, you may only have a few years left. Enjoy the time you have. Just make the best of it." So this lady went out and she got plastic surgery. She got a facelift and a tummy tuck and various and sundry other things that she had done. And she walked out of the hospital. She was just as healthy as she could be and got hit by a bus. And she goes before the Lord, and the Lord says, "Who are you?" And she tells him who she is. I just messed up the joke, y'all. Just messed up the joke. I can't remember even how it goes. It was perfect. But anyway, it came out that the Lord didn't recognize who she was because she'd had so many changes made. Well, never mind. Okay. Just delete that from the tape. Pretend that didn't even happen. The point is, God is not looking for us to disguise ourselves from Him. He doesn't want us to pretend to be something we're not. He wants to see us with our flaws, with our scars, with our weaknesses. He wants to know about our sins. You don't try to hide your sins from God. He wants to know about them. He wants you to confess them. Because, you see, He already knows. That's the sacrilegious part about that story, is there's no way you could hide yourself from God, because He sees everything about us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So the whole idea of adorning ourselves for Christ, for that day when He's coming back to take us home. You know, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He is our Creator. He is our Master. He is our Lord. And He is our Husband. 1 Peter 2:21, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in His steps." We're talking about how we should dress ourselves. We're following in the steps of Jesus. We're having the same life He lived, the same attitude He had, the same love for people that Jesus had, the same aversion for sin that Jesus had. Reading on further in 1 Peter, we've looked at verse 21. Look at verses 22 through 24. "Christ, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth." So here we are. See, what Jesus did, we should do. "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again." We're talking about how we should appear, how we should adorn ourselves, how we should decorate ourselves with these qualities, these characteristics. This is what our whole summer series is about. His characters with character. As we're trying to show from these biblical heroes and heroines, people that love God and had displayed the character that God is seeking in His people. So we're trying to learn lessons from them. "But when Jesus was reviled, He reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." God wants us to adorn ourselves in the image of His Son. He wants us to be like Jesus as much as possible. So we have to follow the pattern that's revealed right here in the Scriptures. Following the pattern, Ephesians 5:27, Jesus desires that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So we're going to take instruction. We're going to learn the wisdom of Scripture. We're going to be meek and teachable. We're going to be humble before God and before each other. We're going to love everyone. We're going to have faith in God. We're going to add the Christian graces. We're going to put on the whole armor of God, and on and on and on it goes. We're going to be the people that dress up for our Lord. But it's not this outward dress. It is who we are becoming. We're going to become what He wants us to be. And that means we're going to resist giving in to our natural urges. Just because somebody offends us is no excuse for us to get right back in their face. Just because someone neglects us is no need for us to resent them or hate them. Just because someone sins against us, no excuse for us not to forgive them. No excuse at all. So let us be of the same mind with one another, the same mind in us that was also in Christ Jesus, who did not hold on to that which was His, but emptied Himself so that He might save us. Let us have the same mind as He had, that we empty ourselves of our own personal agendas, and we submit ourselves to the will of God in all things, that Jesus might present to His Father this glorious church, having neither spot nor wrinkle nor blemish, but that we could be truly as a bride adorned for her husband. As you consider then your life and your relationship with God this morning, we call upon you to see just where you stand, to see yourself as God sees you. It's not about the makeup. It's not about the clothes. It's not about the jewelry. It's all about the heart. How's your heart before the Lord this morning? If you're not a Christian, you don't have the right relationship with God, and you've got to become a child of God. Believe in Jesus enough to repent of sin, confess your faith in Him, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. And having done that, if you've been faithful to the Lord, continue. Keep doing it. But if you've allowed yourself to wander back into sin, if you have become indifferent, cold, negligent, or if you have not been truly applying yourself to trying to become the person that God wants you to be, repent. Rededicate your life to God. If there's sin in your life, deal with that. If you need the prayers of this church, we want you to know we stand ready to pray for you, to help you in any way we can. So we'll sing this song, and when we sing it, we will invite you to come, responding to the invitation, and letting us help you to make sure that you are right with God. Whatever your situation, we invite and encourage you to come right now if you need to as we stand and sing.